This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Today on the radio show, oh, it's a busy day. John Martin joins us in the next segment. I was listening to John yesterday, and he had me in a state of rage. Okay, that's strong, but I thought some of his takes were, extreme and were grounded in his own self-loathing. I'll explain when we have John.
A little bit of
on.
Projecting?
I think a little bit, yeah, just, you know, misery. The misery is oozing off of John these days. And so we'll talk to John about this in the...
We'll interrogate John.
...next segment. And we got Chris Harrington. He went out to eat last night. We learned this yesterday at a restaurant where everything, Jeffrey, as you recall, everything on the menu... The only ingredients are things that existed before the white man came to the to North America, right? Before
Correct. Colonized. Native, truly native.
It was all truly native. And so, you know, I don't think there was pork, right?
I we know there's not beef.
And
I would presume that pork
beef.
Would... Yes.
Let me ask you, corn.
He said corn,
but is corn,
bison.
Is corn really... Corn, we didn't... Who brought corn?
Well, I mean, it was definitely here when the pilgrims got here.
It was, because they had corn on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So I guess it was maize, right? It was
correct.
Corn. They had corn. So, I don't know. We'll see what else he bison, elk, that kind of protein that you could have. Anyway.
Honestly, God's watching. I didn't realize cows were, I didn't realize that's what
didn't we brought cows. You thought cows were just roaming the earth? You know, here's the telltale. If cows had been roaming the Great Plains, I think your Native Americans would have killed the cow instead of the buffalo because they seem easier. You know, which seems easier to take
down? No, cows
a rampaging
like that,
buffalo
yeah.
or a rampaging Holstein or half, not a Holstein, that's a milk cow, Hereford. And the other reason you know is that the cows all have the names of the cows are all named after places in England.
That,
Angus,
okay, that's,
Hereford,
yeah, that's kind
you
of
you know
giveaway.
What I mean. They're all yeah. Anyway, we'll also talk to Chris about more in his mailbag yesterday. As we have a little break here, the Grizzlies don't play until Friday. There's some more trade stuff. Also, Jeffrey, The Athletic did a ranking of front offices.
Okay,
now I think front office rankings. I think they're tricky. You just look at who's playing well, like who's like, how do you do a front office rankings? In any front, I guess it's true. I guess we know the Chiefs are a great front office, right? I think we know that. But let me ask you this.
Are the Chiefs a great front office or they have Patrick Mahomes?
Like, they have Patrick Mahomes as a great coach and a great front. Yeah, and that's it. And
then it's like, were the Patriots great front office?
Here you go. They had a great front office because they traded up to get Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
You can't discount the fact that they did the thing that makes them a great front office.
But I guess like my whole argument is I think it's a whole lot easier to be a great front office when you have that position solidified.
If you get that right, the Bills are a great front office. The Bills would be Bills wouldn't rank with the Chiefs in the front offices. Here's who ranks high. Always. Eagles always rank high.
Yep.
And they do it without having hit on the quarterback.
Yeah.
Right?
Not to the level of
not
the other.
Not to the same level.
Not to the level that we're talking
they
about.
They just got that right.
Right.
I honestly think, weirdly enough, Lions right now would be considered a really strong front office, even though a lot of the things they did at the time they did them, and maybe this even makes them a better front office. We're like, why did you do that? Why'd you a running back in the first round? Why'd you go get Jared Goff? He's washed up. The great quarterback whisperer is willing to trade you Jared Goff. Like, they did a bunch of stuff that was unpopular at the time, and they haven't hit on the quarterback to the Mahomes Allen level.
I mean, there's an argument that their quarterback's the best in the NFC.
There is an argument. And
they got him as he's discarded.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm saying. They did stuff that was unpopular at the time.
Taking running backs,
taking linebackers, whatever. And in the first round, the people were laughing at him. And they're laughing at the coach pick. Remember his 100%. First press conference?
I don't think
that makes him a better front office. I do think it makes it sweeter when they're acknowledged as a better front office. If you're doing things that are...
Well, I do tip my cap when you take a risk and you go against the grain everybody else is doing.
Everyone else tells you do this.
Right. And by the way, it's a much greater risk to do it
that way. Because then you are totally clowned on.
But I do think you should deserve credit for if you do it and it works out, you deserve even more credit because everyone else is sitting there laughing in your face.
Well, it's funny though, because remember we just did, there was a ranking recently, future rankings or something. I don't know what it was. And one of the five categories was front office, right?
For NBA. I think it was an ESPN one this summer.
For NBA. And the Grizzlies franchise at that point did not.
I don't remember we were talking about, like, what happened to make them.
They got injured,
like,
and they went from, like, the number three front office to the number 12.
Yeah.
Well, I'm making those numbers up.
No, it might even been.
And now
more
all
drastic.
Of a sudden, it's not the same entity, but all of a sudden they're back at the top.
Because they're
playing well. But the front office moves are fundamentally the same. Indeed, pretty much exactly the same. Who do you think has the best front offices in the NBA?
Oklahoma City.
Have you looked at this ranking?
I've not.
Okay.
So I'm going to guess Oklahoma City.
Is one. That's the master, right? I mean, what they did is absolutely ridiculous, particularly with the Paul George trade. They brought that 2019 trade. Paul George is forcing himself out of OKC. And you're feeling horrible as a fan. He didn't want to play, whatever else, right? And you trade him to the Clippers for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, five first-round picks, and two first-round swaps. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Same thing, by the way. The head coach is a G League coach. It's incredible. It's incredible. Celtics are two.
Yeah, I was going to guess Celtics. The Heat... Pat Riley's like, I just feel like he's grandfathered in always.
The interesting thing about the Celtics is it a lot of it's deals, right? It's Brad Stevens, who was elevated from coach to GM, and he trades for Al Horford, he trades for Derek White, trades for Drew Holiday, trades for Porzingis, and doesn't break up Brown Tatum, which everyone like, gotta break it up, right?
Sitting working.
You're right, Miami Heat at three. Pat Riley... Since 1995. Isn't that really unbelievable? Just unbelievable. And they've done it with stars. They've, Shaq, Dwayne Wade, LeBron. They've lured free agents. But then they've also drafted well. Bam Adebayo, Tyler Herro, et cetera.
All right. Then I'm going to go with teams that are having success. Big offseason moves. So the Knicks got to be up there.
So Knicks are six.
All right, then I'm going to say, I'm looking at teams that are doing well. Cleveland?
We're missing four and five. Four is the Memphis Grizzlies. How about that? Four is the Memphis Grizzlies. Five is the Timberwolves. Six, the Knicks. Let's see where we got Cleveland. You would think Cleveland should. Seven is Orlando. I think Cleveland's getting the shaft here. Cleveland down at eight. Obviously the Donovan Mitchell trade was a big swing, but then getting him to sign the extension was even bigger. They fired JB and look like Atkinson is going to be a terrific replacement there. But the Grizzlies are back up at four, and I think appropriately so. And I do think, by the way, Friday the Grizzlies coming back. They're at home against Brooklyn, revenge game, coming off of this triumphant road swing. It would be nice to have a packed house to celebrate them. I mean,
for
they're
sure.
just killing it.
We're even gonna give away tickets to Rider Than Right Trivia tomorrow.
Are we giving away tickets?
Yes, we have Friday tickets to the Nets game.
Tickets to the Nets game on Rider Than Right Trivia tomorrow. I do think, like we were talking about, and this didn't happen. Tigers come back from Maui. They were great in Maui. Come on out and celebrate them. No one did. The Grizzlies is obviously a different story. They do much better in terms of attendance. But, I was talking about John about this. With the Tigers' attendance is a lagging indicator. Attendance is based on what you did last year.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
and it can catch up, right?
Yeah, like momentum, but it's
but it's first of all, it's based on season ticket base, and then and so to the extent that their Tiger basketball is struggling, there's lots of reasons for it at the gate. But one of them is last year. Like, not just last year, but recent years. But anyway, Grizzlies are fourth. And Kleiman won the league's Executive of the Year award in 2022 when the Grizzlies won 56 games, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But basically then talks about how they are a small market success story because they piece together smart late draft picks and value signings around high lottery talents. So there you go. And they mention Desmond Bain. They mention Brandon Clark. They mention Xavier Tillman. Picked 35th. He was very good for the 30th pick while he was here. Santi picked 30th. Jake LaRavia, 19th. Vince Williams, 47th. Gigi Jackson, 45th. It's really incredible. Plus, then the rotation level players outside the lottery, including, Jalen Wells is one. And then you get the Jay Huffs and the Scottie Pippins. And like, you got to tip your cap to what that front office has done. It's been extraordinary. And by the way, there's a deal where Robert Pera, we talk about doing the unpopular thing. I'm not saying hiring Zach Kleiman was unpopular, but it was a hell of a risk.
Sure.
He was a 29-year-old.
Yeah. He was a lawyer.
Lawyer for the team. Like, he'd been hired originally because he worked at the New York law firm that represents the NBA, and he'd been hired to help out Levian. Levian hired him and as a counsel. And then when Levian gets the boot, they had trusted Zach Kleiman, and he had impressed them so much that they made him GM.
Yep.
Talk about a swing. And it has been wildly successful. Wildly successful. Anyway, I got off track. We're going to talk to Chris Harrington about that. And then Sam Hardiman will join us because a whole lot happened since he was last on, including the Justice Department a report on the Memphis Police Department, including the news of XAI's expansion and more. So we'll talk to Sam Hardiman about what's going on in the city today. Busy radio show today. Couple things I wanted to talk about, though, off the top. One is the Belichick thing continues to percolate, Jeffrey. Now the report is he is sitting on an offer from the University of North Carolina. He's mulling it. That's what you do with offers. You mull them. You mull them over, Jeffrey, and you. And so he is mulling the offer. There's also a story over at The Athletic about what a dysfunctional mess the University of North Carolina is, and a schism between the board and the athletic department. Bubba Cunningham is the AD, and the schism goes way back to Mack Brown. Board liked Mack Brown. Bubba Cunningham fired Mack Brown. Fired him from Hawaii. When Mack Brown was saying, I think I'm going to stay, right? So he's like, whoa. And the board likes him and whatever else. And the board is auditing the athletic department. And so it feels like the board is running this Belichick hiring. Maybe this one guy on the board. I guess the fundamental question is this. Is he ultimately going to be the coach at the University of North Carolina?
So there were also subsequent reports yesterday that with the offer, he basically said, okay, if you want me to be the head coach, here's what's going to take. And he handed them a 400-page Bible. And I acknowledge it's obviously a negotiation that's just kind of
I'll give you 212 of these pages. You could do that.
But not only that, when I looked at what he wants, man, that's expensive.
Here's the question. There were lots of questions. In the end, they may balk, right? They may balk, and that may be that. And I get that. He is proposing something that's sort of been evolving anyway.
Sure.
You see more of these teams, more universities hiring general managers,
yes.
Right? And
Bama just paid, like, I think $1 million for theirs, getting them away from Oregon.
Right. So it is interesting. One of my high school classmates' sons is the general manager for the Cincinnati Bearcats.
Yep.
And that didn't used to exist. There used to be a recruiting coordinator. Mm-hmm. But it kind of does make sense.
Absolutely.
A head coach does have to
coach. Especially now that it's no longer just high school recruiting. And filling in with some transfers. It's
how can you possibly do all this stuff? You can't possibly do all this stuff. And what Belichick seems to be is taking it to the nth degree. Like, we're just going to have two departments here. We're going to have a coaching department, and we're going to run it like we did the Patriots. We're going to have a personnel department, and he will be obviously instrumental in all of it. But he wants this, and it does make sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anything he proposed was radical. I just think what he proposed is extremely expensive. And is Carolina willing to do that?
And is Carolina willing to do that? It was interesting. Jeff Monken is someone who's being suggested as a possible fallback candidate if Belichick doesn't work out. And you can see that because Jeff Monken, he's been waiting a long time for this. Like, he's the kind of guy who would take this job because he has never gotten one of these jobs.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And he's been really good at Army, like really good at Army. And he said he doesn't have to run the same offense.
Yeah, and like we saw, granted, it's the Mountain West. I acknowledge that it's different, but like Ken Niumatalolo, like they went to San Jose State, completely runs a different offense.
Right.
It's not like he's running anything that looks like the option. And they went 7-5 when many people thought like, oh, they're going to be god-awful. Brennan leaves them. This is a tough place to recycle. And it's rolling right now.
Bill Walsh, as was pointed out in this story at The Athletic, he, and I had forgotten this, he went back to Stanford. He went back to coach at Stanford.
The only reason I knew this is because of Bill Walsh football 94.
And was 17-1. By the way, thoughts and prayers to Pepperdine.
Yeah.
Your friends, you are a proud graduate of Pepperdine, and all I saw yesterday was reports that there's shelter in place because of massive fires. What
Correct.
The hell is going on at Pepperdine?
So, and it's not really fire season. Fire season's more of like the, like October-ish.
Uh-huh.
So there's a giant fire. Now, the reason why, like when we had a massive one my freshman year, and we had to evacuate. And so I had one of my buddies in town from Vanderbilt. And so that was quite the experience. But they shelter in place because the way that the fire was moving, it was like coming for them, but it wasn't going to like consume them. And so you have these visuals of all the fires raging, like what looks to be like right there on campus. But so
Did
far,
you, were you looking at that? Were you?
Was yeah, we were. The group chat was going off.
Wow. That was something else. Okay. And then separately, in the world of college football, we did have news about, we had conversation about the state of college football. Lane Kiffin, now Ole Miss is playing Duke, and Malik Murphy, who is Duke's quarterback, has already entered the portal, right? And so.
And right now, a lot of Ole Miss, like Jackson Dart says he's playing.
Right.
Like a lot of the Ole Miss guys say they're playing.
So, and Kiffin said it's a dumb system to have the portal before the bowls. And it is. It's crazy, right? It's crazy. But on the other hand, Jeffrey, well, there's two things. One is you have to have the portal before the next semester, right?
Sure.
Isn't that part of the driver?
Yeah, of course.
Why don't you?
That the argument is because of the semesters.
Well, why is it? Now, I'm not saying, listen, these guys would opt out anyway.
Right,
they don't want to play in bowls. Even if the portal didn't open, when's the Ole Miss game? When is it?
January 2nd, yeah. I believe.
Let's say you could knock out the game and the portal opened after the game. Would that mean that Malik Murphy would play in the game? No, he still wouldn't. He's decided people don't care about these damn bowls, and they would still opt out of the bowl, to be in the portal because they're done.
Yeah,
I do think it's a dumb system. I don't think it's the only problem with the system.
I think there's like a compounding complaint. So not only do you have portal opening now, but they just had signing day, I think, allegedly last week.
Right.
And so like everything is just all at once.
I mean, it is a dumb system, but I don't know the answer though.
No, because in the end, the problem is, like, he uses the NFL comparison of, like, imagine if free agency opened during the playoffs.
Right. He said, imagine the NFL, they were getting for the AFC-NFC playoffs and players in free agency already.
Right, but the problem is the NFL doesn't have to have the facade of being an academic enterprise as well.
So that happened. It is interesting, because it occurred to me, is college football in a better state than ever? or is it in a worse state than ever? You know, like it is, because right now it was an unbelievably great season, and it's incredible postseason, and yet it's complete chaos also.
I think a lot of
it. Is it better than ever or worse than ever?
Not to steal something from lawyers, I think it kind of depends. I think largely what it depends on is what side of this fence are you on? Like, if you're Indiana, aren't you talking about how great college football is?
Who's it bad for besides Memphis? Besides the five, you can even make an argument for Boise State, for SM.
You make the argument that
the Big 12
and the ACC, like, they're largely getting relegated.
Yeah, like, that's not better than ever for,
you know what I mean?
For Utah.
So for those schools, like, you can argue that. It's certainly not better than ever for Washington State and for Oregon State. I think if you're talking about it as a television product, I think it's undeniable it's better than ever, because we had more teams that were genuinely competitive.
I think that's right.
We had more games.
But if you're talking about it as an institution that should serve the best interests of, I don't know, even there, players are getting money.
Well, like,
now.
Regional rivalries are dying.
Yes.
And the system, I don't think, is good. Because, like, in the end, like, think about as gutting as that Michigan losses for Ohio State, they still have the chance to go and win the national championship.
Yeah, but the trade-offs are there in terms of the number of compelling games.
Right.
That are so much
dramatic. But, like, think about once upon a time, like, even last year, if Ohio State loses the game, they're done.
I know that. There are a few select games that mean less. But generally, there's so many more games that mean more that I'm not worried about that part of it. The only thing that's, it's chaotic. And you know, it's, but is it, I'd say it's not better for coaches, but they're making plenty of
I would say it's different for coaches. They have less control, but
I think it's worse for coaches. They were already making money before they started diverting money.
I would argue the assistants weren't making this kind of money.
That's probably true. Anyway, the other thing that happened is Greg Sankey talked about, he didn't really say much. He talked about, he talked to Yahoo and,
Ross Dellinger. Yeah.
Talked to Ross Dellinger and his reaction to the way the whole playoff thing unfolded. And he didn't say anything dramatic. He didn't say it's criminal that Alabama was left out or anything like that. He didn't say there has to be changes. But he did say that this was set up for five power conferences, and now we're down to four, and there will be changes. We have to keep that in mind. Let's see how it plays out, et cetera.
Well, he also specified five power conferences that were more competitive.
Right. So here's the thing, though. In terms of next year, if there were the current system's in place next year, and to change it, you would need unanimity from all 10 conferences. That doesn't seem likely. Okay, maybe if the SEC forces it somehow.
I would agree with you. It doesn't seem likely. I'm not putting it in the
impossible.
Yes.
No. Beyond there, they've already agreed on a 6-year extension to 2031. Okay, now that does not require unanimity to change it. It does require three things. Automatic inclusion of the five highest conference champion. That has to happen going forward. And you have to protect Notre Dame and give them a way in if they have a certain ranking. And it has to be 12 or 14 teams. Okay? But what that leaves room for, it leaves room for changing who gets automatic buys.
Yep.
You know, do the four top buys go to the automatic, to the four highest ranked champions? That is up for grabs, and that seems to me the one that is most imperiled, right? The second one is just reseeding the field generally, the whole seat, like reseeding, that could happen. You could also still change how many automatic bids there are per conference. Like, so you could say the SEC, this was one of the proposals along the way, you could say the SEC gets three automatically, the Big Ten gets three automatically, the ACC and the Big 12 get two automatically, Group of Five gets one automatically, and then depending on whether it's a 12-team or a 14-team playoff, there are one or three at-large teams. That would be another way to do it. And one of the advantages, I'm not in favor of that. I'm not in favor of that. But one of the things that the proponents say is if you did it that way, right now, people don't like the player, the people making the rankings, and people don't like, or picking the teams, and people don't like computers picking the teams. They gripe, they have gripes, period, right?
Yes.
If you had three automatic rankings from the automatic selections from the SEC, they would be picked based on SEC standings.
Correct.
It would be an objective standard. Now, where they'd be seated would still be left up to computers and stuff like that. Presumably, the order, though, would be the way they were seated.
So AI was getting kicked around?
So you would see there, I think it's pretty clear they're going to get rid of the buys for Boise State, would be my guess, ultimately.
And Arizona State. Like, the problem is this, so Bill Conley pointed out, he ranked all the playoff teams from the four-team era through. This playoff has three of the worst teams. Now, it's granted, it's a 12-team playoff.
12-team playoff, right.
But, like, think about it in these terms. Two of your top four seeds are, I believe, the 9th and 10th teams or 9th and 11th teams.
Right.
And then your 16 teams in the field.
Here's the other problem. It strikes people as ridiculous. You know, it doesn't have... Looking at the way it's seeded, your basic football fan looks at it and says that's ridiculous, and it's ridiculous, and it's unfair, honestly, to Oregon. You know, it's not just ridiculous on its face; it also creates very uneven paths depending on which path you happen to luck into.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, Oregon is slated to play the 6th and 7th teams in your rankings. I still, though, it all comes back to the same point to me, though. In the end, the SEC did this to themselves.
Oh, no, I'm just projecting going forward.
I think you're right. I think seeding, you said this on Monday. Seeding, right. Or you even said it last week. The seeding thing's going to change.
I think the seeding thing's
going to change. That seems obvious. I think you could be looking at 14. But the problem with the whole seeding thing is, yet again, they did it to themselves. The commissioners wanted to protect their championship games.
Right.
And so they wanted to have incentive for the championship games.
Oh, here's the other problem. I'll say that, is that when I ask, is college football better off than ever or worse than ever, worse off than ever? I think in some ways it's more compelling than ever. But I'm not giving the people who run college football any credit for that at all, because they only came to this realization kicking and screaming that there should be a 12-team playoff. The reason it's better than ever is because we finally have the playoff that we've been asking for and asking for and asking for and asking for and asking for. Because more teams get in, and so therefore there's more interest across the season for more teams.
But let's also be real. Why
they didn't? And that is not to their credit. They hated it. They fought it tooth and nail.
They didn't even come kicking and screaming. Eventually what happened was, and it's been well documented how I feel about television executives running college football, but in the end, TV's the one that
said, we're doing it.
We're doing this. Yeah. And they said, okay.
Yeah. And then they said, we're doing it. So, Ole Miss, by the way, got the all SEC teams were released. Jackson Dart is the starting quarterback for the first team quarterback for the all SEC team. And Ole Miss had the second most players between the first, second, and third team of anyone. I talked about this once it came to Ryan Silverfield and the University of Memphis. When Memphis had so many players on the AAC team, is that to the credit of Ryan Silverfield or to the discredit? Because you had all these, great that you got them, great that you developed them, great that you got that kind of performances out of them. You had all those great players and you couldn't do what you set out to do. And I'd ask the same thing of Ole Miss. Is this an indictment of Lane Kiffin or is it the credit of Lane Kiffin that they had the second most number of players on the all conference teams and they couldn't qualify for the 12-team playoff?
I think as it pertains to Lane Kiffin, it has caused him a level of frustration from his fan base that no one is sitting there going, you know, hope you leave. But it's for the first time. It's like, I thought this guy was a genius. I thought this guy was that, you know, this, that, and it's caused.
But it beats the hell out of the alternative.
Oh, it beats
the hell out of, you know, Arkansas.
No, I mean, we talk about, like,
Mississippi
who's
State
someone that says
or
that the college football is better? Like, Ole Miss fans are going to say it's better. Why? This has been working for them. Ole Miss is
and,
system
and the
is
way
raised,
he has operated in this environment
yes.
is better.
Correct.
He can operate in this environment. I mean, Jason and John, who were on a jihad to get rid of Ryan Silverfield, and and were trying to get him to get the UNLV job, right? Yep. They said, how would you sell Ryan Silverfield to UNLV? And what I would say, if I were doing that, is I would say, he is getting better, and he has learned how to operate in this environment. In this environment, he's kept a quarterback, he's recruited, like, yeah. He has, whatever his flaws, it feels like he has adjusted to this environment and has learned how to get players in this environment, which is the key. Now, the FedEx money's integral to all of that.
I wasn't even going there. What I would also say is Ryan also kind of changed his attitudes toward it.
100%. Oh, yeah. He was like, he was always like, they have more than we have.
Yep.
He was whining about it for
and,
a while.
And didn't like the system. And when he finally started embracing it. And like, I think if your mindset is you embrace it, like, I think you can kind of do what Kiffin does, which is complain about it. But at the same time, it's not like he's going full Dabo.
No Milrow and no Beck on the all SEC teams. And neither there shouldn't be either. You think?
Yeah.
Well, you would have put him over. You were.
I would have listened to an argument.
I would have listened. Third team.
I would have listened to an argument for. I would have listened to an argument over yours.
For Beck?
I would probably say Milrow because Carson has that middle stretch where I'd listen to an argument for Milrow.
Nice wins by Tennessee basketball last night. Nice win by Arkansas basketball.
That was actually a really fun game.
The Arkansas one?
Yeah, that was a
super
fun,
game. Boogie's good. All right.
Shocker.
Shocker. We're going to take a break. We got John Martin coming up next. If you're looking for a new financial institution, Leaders Credit Union would be the place to look. I say that because we say that from experience. Leaders is a credit union, and so they don't have stockholders that they have to make happy. They don't have these corporate chieftains. Every single dollar that they generate goes back in for better technology, better rates, better service. And so we went to the Bartlett location, opened an account. Claire's been thrilled with it. There's also a location in Arlington. And really all you have to do is download the app. You'll see what I'm talking about. The technology's unbelievably great. So whether you're looking for a new home loan or a new car loan, or whether you're fed up with your current financial institution because they're nickel and diming you, or because they're not appreciative of your long years of being a customer, because maybe they've changed name three times, sold again, whatever it is. Check out Leaders Credit Union. That's what we did. LeadersCU.com/ESPN to learn more. John Martin, when we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Joined now by John Martin. I listen to Jason and John every day. John, how often would you say I text you in the middle of your show?
I would say, you'll definitely give me like, two or three times a week, I would say.
Yeah, I was texting you yesterday.
If we're doing a good job, two or three times a week, I think it's,
I was texting
to get
you
the engagement.
Sometimes.
John Hill occasionally texts me meaning to text you.
Sometimes
about your show.
Well, there was time recently. I'm like, who is he talking about? That's what it was. You were talking about
Carson Beck.
How Carson Beck doesn't watch film. Is that true, by the way?
Yeah.
What did Carson?
He doesn't watch games.
He doesn't watch games because he gets too stressed.
Yeah.
Man.
He watches film, but he said he doesn't watch live games.
And you take that as a mark against him.
Well, now he's injured. Maybe he should have watched more games.
Right. Now he'll be able to watch some games. All right. Okay, John, I have a couple things I want to ask you that are related to what you were saying, the outrageous things you were saying yesterday on your show. Let me ask you this. Do you think that Derrick Rose, had he had the kind of regular season that he had postseason for the University of Memphis Tigers, do you think he maybe should have been Naismith College Player of the Year?
Well, I mean, what did he average in the tournament? Like 20 and
I'm saying if he was destroying people in the in the regular season, like he was destroying people in the tournament, could he or should he have been Naismith Player of the Year?
I don't think he would have been.
I'm not asking you that.
I don't.
Do you think he should be disqualified? Because I was listening to you yesterday, and I just think, I thought it was an exercise in self-loathing. You went to the University of Memphis. You're a proud graduate of the University of Memphis, and you're saying that no one who's from a Group of Five school should basically ever win the Heisman, period, the end, because they go up against slaw competition. And I immediately thought about how generally I think that's true. They generally won't, and they generally don't, right? But if you have a year where there's not a particularly inspired choice and you have someone doing historic things at a lower level, Derrick Rose played against slaw comp. Now, not in the tournament he didn't, but in terms of Naismith Player of the Year, I think it's picked before then. Certainly the Heisman is not picked on postseason. So Derrick Rose played against slaw competition, but he was unquestionably one of the greatest college basketball players that season. Why should it be held against him, the fact that he's going against lesser competition? He's not doing it in the ACC. If he's the greatest college basketball player that year, and indeed he was close, why do you automatically disqualify him because he's playing in what was then CUSA?
Well, I guess I would counter that with Derrick Rose played Arizona, Gonzaga, UConn, USC, Oklahoma, Tennessee. I mean, they played
I think if you look at the percentage of his schedule that he played against real teams, I don't know. Jeffrey, call up Derrick Rose's senior year. If you look at the percentage of his schedule,
well, he didn't have a senior year.
If you look at the percentage, if you look at the percentage of his schedule that he played against real competition, I bet it's no different than Ashton Gentry's, which is two games.
Ashton Gentry played one team.
Didn't they play two Group of Five teams?
They played Oregon, and I think people are counting UNLV. Like Washington State. No, people are counting like Washington State.
Yeah, so
and Oregon
they played two teams. Most Group of Five teams play two, right? Most Group of Five teams we're talking about here, a lot of them play two, and so if you play two out of 12, is that so different than what Derek? What percentage of Derek Rose's games were against stout Power Five competition?
A third.
Well, we'll see if that's true.
So if there's 31 regular season games, so I'm not counting conference tournament.
Okay.
So I count, y'all tell me if you count this. I count Oklahoma.
Yep.
I count UConn.
Yep.
I count USC.
Yep.
I count Georgetown.
Yep.
Arizona.
5 out of 31.
Cincinnati.
That's a conference game.
Yep.
No, at this point it wasn't.
Not that time, it was not.
No, this is not.
Damn it.
Arizona and then Tennessee that year later.
That's 8 out of 31. That's a third. That's practically a third. That's a higher percentage.
That would be my argument. Is if Ashton Gentry's played
Let me ask you this. What percentage, let's say Derrick Rose is playing on this Memphis team. They will have played the teams in Maui and then the teams that they have
It's the same because Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Clemson.
No, they're playing three. Okay, so there's four there, and then in Maui they played
three.
So seven out of 31, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little less.
Missouri.
Not a quarter.
So Missouri to start the year, then the three in Maui, then you're going to have these next four.
So you're saying they at least have a chance to prove that they are elite against more elite.
Yeah, like I think that's my big gripe.
I understand that generally speaking, but here's the other truth, which is a bigger gap right now, right? Is a bigger gap between the SEC and the Big 12? It's okay to be a Big 12? Like those teams, Jeffrey,
I mean,
which
that's
is a bigger
argument.
Gap? And the Big
that,
12
that is fair.
Big,
that is,
the Big 12 and the Mountain West.
That is a fair argument because the Big 12, like,
so why
so
should
great.
You be able to win it from the Big 12? They stink compared to the SEC.
We are talking football at this point, correct?
Now we're talking football.
Okay.
Yeah.
The gap between the SEC and the Big 12 is wider than the gap between the Big 12 and the Mountain West.
All right. So why should be, if you're disqualifying someone from the Mountain West, why aren't you disqualifying Travis Hunter?
No, look, I agree with you. I think this is probably going to be one of the rare times where a Big 12 player does win it. I mean, I think we're about to get.
Well, it's not rare in the past, but it'll be rare going forward. Maybe.
Yeah, like it's going to be an SEC and Big Ten award. I mean,
Here's the truth of the matter.
I want to revise my statement. The bottom of the Mountain West is so bad.
Who are we? Who? Give me some uninspired. Who's the Miami quarterback who won the frickin' SEC, who won the Heisman?
It was just radio guy. Gosh.
I mean, they're a bunch of
Jason White has won the
Jason frickin' White won it. And who's a better quarterback, Jason White or Steve McNair? Steve McNair. And he did it at Alcorn.
Right, because he was a, but because he played.
He did
Alcorn
it at Alcorn, you shouldn't. But it shouldn't be the sole. I do agree. It should be taken to account. Of course, it should be taken to account. But in the same way, Gino frickin' Toretta, because he happened to be on a Miami team that was awesome. But he was not the best. He was not nearly. Gino Toretta was not the best player in college football in the same way that. Ashton Gentry, better college football player than Gino Toretta. Jeffrey, you down with that?
Agreed, 100%.
D'Angelo Williams, better college football player than Gino Toretta.
Agreed.
Do you agree with that, John?
I didn't watch Gino Toretta.
Okay. Right. Right.
I don't know what Gino Toretta plays.
Right,
second thing. One that I don't know what to do with is, what do we do with like a Danny Werfel, who was like, he truly was an exceptional
exceptional.
But he obviously is limited.
I don't hold it against Danny Werfel at all.
But the problem I would have as a voter, this is the truth. The problem I would have as a voter would be how do I decide best when, you know, I have player A that plays in the best league, and then I have player
because
B
you
that
also,
has better numbers.
It's something you take into account, right? It's something you take into account. And if you see it,
it's
Gino
Toretta,
weigh
heavily. It's something I weigh very
that's
heavily.
Fine. It's something I would weigh heavily, too. But if I look with my own eyeballs and think, you know what, Gino Toretta is just throwing a wide open receivers, and he's got two guys who are going to be Hall of Famers on the outside, and he's got whatever, and meanwhile, I've got D'Angelo Williams doing, these guys weren't in the same year, but I'm just saying, or Ashton Gentry doing extraordinary things. Look with your eyeballs. And how did he do against Oregon?
He played very well, and
in his one chance to play against it didn't look any different.
No, he looked exactly like he
I'm
did
not
all
saying
year.
He should get it over Travis Hunter. Here's what I think. I want to psychoanalyze you. I think you hate the Memphis situation and schedule so much now. It goes back to the conference realignment stuff. It goes to that it infects your way of thinking about everything. And now you're an exercise in self-loathing. You hate that you're not a member of the Power Four, and you hate everything about it. And so you're basically saying, we're not worthy, we're scum. And I think you're practically, I mean, I know you watched the Tennessee game last night. I think you're practically about to change allegiance to the University of Tennessee. I think is going to be a Tennessee fan. You've become just power. Power is your motivation here, and you're going to turn Dom into a little. He's going to get a little orange onesie this year, isn't he?
I'll say this: my views have increasingly become more radicalized as the days have gone on.
Yes,
but never will I ever reach a point where. My children are banned from going there. That's not going to change. And look, you're right. I do hate
people change. Once upon a time, Trump was anti-TikTok. Now he's pro-TikTok. You can change too.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. But see, that's only because TikTok, you know, the CEO kind of coddled up to him. You know,
right?
If Rick Barnes
coddles
up
to you, right? Sends you maybe Rick Barnes will send you the little onesie.
Yeah. But no, in all seriousness, I do hate it, man. I saw a story from I'm so sorry that I don't know who wrote it. I just saw a story on the Memphis Reddit yesterday that Memphis football attendance was its lowest since 2012. Apologies if somebody else has written that. Like, I don't know if Frank, I don't think Frank's wrote that, but I saw somebody wrote it. And guess what? Like, it's not going to get better. And that's why, again, not to like beat this horse. That's like decomposed, but
it is funny though. It is funny. Like you look at SMU and they're doing great, but if you look at Houston, if you look at UCF, just fired their coach, or he just left. If you look at Cincinnati, doesn't look like life is so great in the Big 12. I'd be there. I would pick it, of course. You know what I mean? 100%.
I think that's a bigger indictment on the ACC's football than it is on the other schools.
Yeah. Okay, John. Here's the other thing. I've also read
you couldn't afford not to go. Because
no, of course you'd go. I don't have any doubt you'd go. You'd go.
I'm talking about Pac-12. I'm not talking about Big 12. I'm talking about Pac-12.
The Pac. All right. Well, then the other thing I wanted to ask you about was, again, more self-loathing.
Go ahead.
You're writing about the damage that the Memphis Tigers did in losing to Arkansas State, and it's the same thing. You're like sour. You're so sour now. You're like, I'm never playing Arkansas State again, and whatever. Yep. I don't even want to discuss that. But what's interesting is, in Parth's story today, he points out that in bracketology, there's still a 6 seed, and in Bracketville, there's still a 4 seed. Maybe they didn't do so much damage to their resume. What do you think?
Well, I don't know anything about Bracketville. You know, that sounds like the group of five version of bracketology.
Answers are embedded with self-loathing.
I'm just throwing that out. No, I mean, I think, you know, if we take the 2, 6 and 4, that puts you at an average of 5. I learned that at the University of Memphis.
See, this is sad, isn't it, Jeffrey? Don't you think it's sad what he's become? It's just sad.
No, I think
tough
it's a good.
See. It's tough. I don't.
It's, all the swagger's gone. He's a sniveling, retreating. Take my ball and go home.
I did love.
Never
it.
Vote for us again.
I did love his. It's like what Ole Miss just decided. When Freeze lost in 2015, was berating Ross Bjork for the game being on the schedule.
For the Memphis game being on the schedule.
I'm just treating other people the way we get treated. That's all that is. Believe me. I mean, you know, you got to flex your muscle every.
You
got
to look down at the people you can look down on. Because when you're in the group of five, it's a dwindling number, you know, of people you can look down on. So you got to take advantage of your chance to look down at whoever you can.
Right. But no, I mean, I think in terms of the seeding, I mean, it's so early that you know it means really nothing. But if you know you're an average of 5 right now. And, you know, you can find a way to go 2-2 in these next 4, which, you know, is, just, I think, certainly doable. Then you go into the AAC, you know, into AAC play feeling, all right, we're a top 6 seed at worst, which would be tied for the best seed Memphis has ever gotten since John Calipari left in 2009. And that obviously gives you a chance, you know, to go to the Sweet 16. It gives you a chance. You're not a favorite. But it gives you a much better chance of being, obviously, an 8 or a 9. So, I mean, I think, you know, obviously the wins they have had have aged very well, which is a key distinction from a year ago.
Right.
I think by this time we'd already seen that, you know, Arkansas and Michigan, after a battle for Atlantis, had already fallen off. So, you know, you got 3 wins that are doing a lot of work for you right now, and you're just hoping that they keep doing that.
If you had to wager on what they will do in these next 4, would you pick 2-2? Is that the number you think they will accomplish? Is it just as likely they will go 1-3?
No, I would take a flyer. I'd take a long shot on 3-1.
But that's the long shot. What's the favorite? What's the favorite?
The favorite is probably 1-3.
But I think like that's minus, true. I think people are like, I'll take 2-2. Like, it's settling for 2-2.
Yeah.
I think the favorite is probably 1-3.
You know, it's Jeffrey Rhodes is like minus maybe like 125, 1-3. It's not like an overwhelming favorite.
Yeah, I mean, so literally the Ole Miss Mississippi State games are toss-ups that I think you're likely to win because of at home. And, like, you're – so I can do the math right here. All right, so you have a 25% chance to win on
this is very complicated.
Saturday.
Bruce is going to be very impressed if you can do this. John, I gather you got a Christmas pageant today. Is that right?
Yeah, my kid, man, she's killing me softly. But she was up all night coughing, so I'm not really exactly sure how this.
What's her role in the Christmas pageant? Is she an angel?
You know, I asked her about this yesterday. I said, you know, are you like a little background elf or are you a main character, you know? And she seems to really not know. I'm very interested in sort of how this will go. We were told we need to arrive very early because it will be full.
Oh, so, 100% it'll be packed. Everyone will be taking pictures. It's going to be.
So my kid, when I've had these before, I missed last year's because I was in Vegas. I'm a great dad, okay? So I have a Peter Christmas pageant. But at the other events she's been in, she typically just does not do what she is supposed to do. And so, again, it will be very fascinating.
Shocked by that.
All right. See how she handles it.
Jeffrey, do you have any higher math for us or not? You want us to?
All right. So, basically, 4-0, you'd have about a 5% chance.
I'm going 4-0.
Correct. I think John's right. I think 1-3 would be a slight favorite.
More likely than 2-2.
Correct.
I think that's probably right. John, we appreciate it. Enjoy the pageant, man.
All right, man.
Merry
Talk
Christmas
to
you and yours.
Yep.
Yeah,
you
right.
Guys.
Exactly.
Yep.
You see, John, man, just you realize he's going through a hard time with the conference stuff, and it's when you care that deeply. It's the same way I've turned against the Buffalo Sabres, who've lost 7 in a row. I hate them. I mean, there comes this time.
Okay, but you got to be honest. You know for damn sure you would trade up a Super Bowl run for anything.
No, I would, but weirdly enough, I like the Sabres more than the Bills. I hate the Sabres now. I hate them.
Which makes no sense to me. It's the same owners.
I hate them.
How can you put together?
How can you have literally one of the best NFL franchises?
Well, like, and we see people that have like multiple successful franchises, like Kroenke.
It's totally bipolar. It's totally bipolar.
It makes no sense to me.
Makes no sense. I think it's who you picked in charge. It's also, here's the truth. The Bills make money because the NFL makes money. And so you just keep pouring money in. The Sabres, the NHL loses money. And so they're not the kind of like spend their way out. No one needs to hear me say that. Anyway, if you're selling your house, call Josh Issa and the team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147. I'm looking around, just casting around for houses these days. I might want something a little smaller. So I'm just casually looking. And what I notice is same houses are on the market all the time. Like nothing apparently is moving. It's another reason why you need to hire someone as creative and aggressive as Josh Hysa. JoshHasTheBuyers.com, 901-461-8147. Flexible freeze, no upfront cost, and we'll let you out of your contract at any time, risk-free. That's how confident he is that he can sell your house. Plus, how about this for comfort? If he can't sell your house, if he can't find you a buyer, he will buy your house himself. Call him today, Josh Hysa, 901-461-8147. When we return, Chris Harrington joins the show. Then we got Sam Hartman. Busy day on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.